1, 2, 3, 4. Now it seems. Is it working? Thank you. I'm glad to preach today. After the trip to China, it's because before the China trip, you know that I got a severe allergy. So in the past sermon, every time it was difficult for me to preach. But when I went back to China and Hong Kong, my allergy was gone because it was so hot. It was so hot there. Every day it was close to 110. So if you have allergy, go to Hong Kong, go to China in the summer. Today my sermon topic is speaking in tongues. I have to admit that I'm not a good language learner, and in fact I'm not a good speaker by all means, because you know my training background, was a physicist, so I don't know how to speak. And let me see if it works out. This one works. This one works. Even this doesn't work. Is it here? Oh, the back is off. So, as you may know, I was born in Guangzhou, Guangdong. I don't know if you can see it. If you can see Hong Kong somewhere, it's really at the south of China. And I was born in Guangdong. And I was raised up in Hong Kong. So, naturally, Cantonese, or we say Yue, the official language of Hong Kong, naturally it becomes my mother tongue. And other than Cantonese, I could not master any other Chinese languages and dialects. But if you see the map, you see China has so many languages. By definition, a language is a method of communication, either by spoken or written. And strictly speaking, the Chinese use are very complicated. Chinese has a unified writing system. However, the Chinese writing system is shared by several major languages, such as Mandarin, Hakka, Cantonese, Min, Xiang, Gang, and so on. And for each major Chinese language, oftentimes dialects exist. And if you ask how many dialects are there in Chinese, some people estimated that there are 400 plus. And some even said that the number is uncountable. So, but we all know that since 1950s, Mandarin has been assigned as the official language in mainland China. However, many local people in different places or different parts of China, they are still speaking their own languages and dialects. And oftentimes, they speak Mandarin with a strong dialect accent. So you see the verbal communication between two Chinese languages is impossible. They cannot talk to one another. And between two dialects of the same language, when they talk to one another, it is difficult. And interestingly, when two persons speak the same Mandarin, but with different accents, frustration and misunderstanding may arise. In 1992, just a few days before July 4, my family and I took a plane, landed in New York, and began our new immigrant life. At that time, I had no idea that one day I would return to the land of China, even though I was born there. Moreover, I found no reason for me to learn how to speak Mandarin or any Chinese dialect other than my mother tongue, Cantonese. But our God is amazing. In recent years, God has led me to contact many Chinese in mainland China. At first, I only write to them through internet. But in recent years, God has changed my heart, that I am willing to travel a long distance to meet them in China. But I feel the joy. I feel the joy every time when I met them, because now I can share the gospel face-to-face to my country folks. However, the language barrier is still my biggest concern. Every time when I go to China, I was so afraid. To learn Mandarin, actually I learned Mandarin. Years ago, I bought a CD that taught the language by a linguistics professor in Beijing. But it did not help me much because I had no one to practice communication. And then a sister from China, if you can remember her, she is Lam Wen. And then she taught me Mandarin personally for 1 year or so, but I still could not manage it. And then I watched TV dramas imitating the dialogues with the help of captions. However, it seems no matter how hard I try, I still cannot speak the Mandarin without making mistakes. And oftentimes I ask God, how can I serve my people in China as my Mandarin is so inadequate? Maybe we seldom think about the connection between gospel and language. Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew commanded the Christians to preach the gospel to all nations. For example, in Matthew chapter 24:14, Jesus asked the disciples to preach the gospel to as a testimony to all nations. And then Jesus also asked the disciples to train the peoples of all nations to become the disciples of Christ. For example, in Matthew 28:18-20. And this command of preaching the gospel to all nations, of course we know, is called the Great Commission. Now the word nations, all nations, nations should not be considered simply as countries. Currently, we know we have maybe 195 countries in the world. A country is defined only by its political situation. A country can be destroyed, but its language can still exist. And also, different people groups can speak different languages in a country like China. And therefore, oftentimes we interpret nations in the command of Jesus as people groups who speak their own languages. In that case, evangelism requires us to preach the gospel in different languages and dialects. I do not know if you have a heart to serve the Lord in evangelism, especially to people different from us. I mean, in terms of their languages. If you do, sometimes even we have a heart to serve the Lord with evangelism. Sometimes God will ask us to preach the gospel in other languages that we are not familiar. In our church, we already know that we have people speaking Mandarin, English, and Cantonese. How should we prepare ourselves to share the gospel to the people of other languages? And today we will study Acts chapter 2, 1 to 21. This passage may enlighten us to know the necessity of speaking in other languages for the kingdom of God. For the first part of the passage, it talks about to preach the gospel in tongues is necessary to reach all the language groups. We know that after Jesus has resurrected from the dead, he stayed with the disciples for 40 days, and then he travels back to heaven by riding on a cloud. Now the disciples were left behind in Jerusalem, 120 altogether, and they did not know exactly how to begin the process of evangelizing the world of all nations. When the day of Pentecost came, they gathered together in a house in Jerusalem. You know that the Pentecost was a Jewish festival celebrated on the 50th day after the Passover festival. And since the destruction of their country Israel hundreds of years ago, many Jews were scattered and lived in different parts of the world. And on the day of Pentecost, these Jews, they traveled from their nations to Jerusalem. They only had one thing in their mind, celebration. They were God-fearing people, but they did not know the gospel. Verses 9 to 10 mentioned that there were at least 15 different languages. Let me see if I can. Where's the? So verses 9 to 10 mentions that there were at least 15 different language groups now in Jerusalem. They were Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and Libya, Rome, Cretans and Arabs. So all these people from different nations, they came to Jerusalem. At that time, you know, under the control of the Roman Empire, Greek was the most popular language. For the apostles and many disciples of Jesus, their hometown was in the province of Galilee, and they naturally spoke their Galilean dialects. Unexpectedly, the Holy Spirit arrived on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit, as we know from the Bible, he is one of the three persons in the Trinity God. Verses 2 and 3. Verses 2 and 3 describes the moment when the Holy Spirit came to the house. It says, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seems to be the tongue of fire that separated and came to set to rest on each of them. The wild indeed, the violence mean, and the tongues of fire are not the special effects seen in movies. They signify the presence of the Spirit of God. The disciples were then filled with the Holy Spirit. When someone is filled with the Holy Spirit, it means that the Holy Spirit enters his body and also his mind, influencing him to behave differently and unusually, speaking in tongues, and that is speaking in foreign languages, is one of the unconventional behaviors that we see in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit now enabled the disciples to speak the gospel in foreign languages. So they immediately left their house and began to preach the gospel in languages that were strange to them. This moment marks the beginning of spreading the gospel to all nations. It was an unbelievable scene if we had the chance to go back to the day of Pentecost. It was unbelievable that you can see on the streets of Jerusalem some disciples preach the gospel in Greek to some Jews from Rome, maybe, and some disciples spoke in Arabic to the Arabs from the Middle East, and some spoke in Egyptian language, others in other dialects. All the foreign listeners were amazed that they could understand what these Galileans said. They did not know what had happened. Some even said, according to this passage, that the disciples were drunk. They were uttering gibberish under the influence of wine. That's what they think. Preaching in a language, we all know that if we preach, preaching in a language that the audience knows is believed to be effective and direct to convey ideas and information. A preacher can find translators, of course, to do the missions, but translation may also distance the preacher from the audience. As you may know, the Saddleback Church in Los Angeles is an evangelical mega church, and Rick Warren is the senior pastor. They had a few years ago, they had launched a satellite church in Hong Kong. And during the trip to Hong Kong recently, we intentionally visited the Saddleback Church in Hong Kong. And this satellite church, what's special about it is, it is one of the few churches that only use English for Sunday service. The church grows very fast because there are so many Chinese returns from different parts of the world, and English is their most comfortable language during worship. We may say that they are a special language group. As a satellite church, the sermon is a video replay of what had been preached earlier in L.A. And interestingly, after the service, after the English service, almost everyone, including the local pastor, talked to one another in Cantonese. And therefore, you see that, and I really feel that, preaching in a language that the audience find it comfortable is necessary, especially in a multi-language place. And the second part of the passage that we that we learn today is to preach the gospel in tongues requires the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. In the passage, we see that when the crowd, they were puzzled about what they saw on the day of Pentecost. Then Apostle Peter, he stood up, explaining that the time had come to fulfill the prophecy of Joel. Joel is more than 800 years from the time of Peter. And he said in the prophecy, he said that in the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And they will, you see, the prophecy of Joel is about the coming of the Holy Spirit to God's people. The Holy Spirit will empower them. Empower them for what? Empower them to prophesy. Not only, according to this passage, not only the servants of God, like Peter and John, will prophesy, but also the sons and daughters of common folks, the young and the old, the men and women, will prophesy. In the past, we know that God chose only a few people, like Elijah, Elisha, and also Joel, to act as prophets to prophecy. This is a new idea, that now God chose all Christians, including you and me, will team up with the Holy Spirit to prophesy. To prophesy. Many people mistakenly think that the prophecy had to do with the future, predicting what is going to happen in the future. But in the Bible, of course, we know that occasionally a prophet did speak about the future. For example, Daniel. He predicted the coming of the Messiah about 600 years before the actual birth of Jesus. But mostly, when we look at the Bible, a prophet spoke about the present. For example, Jeremiah. Jeremiah, he spoke about, he told his people, Jeremiah told his people, what he just heard from God about their situation. For example, Jeremiah likes to say, this is what the Lord says. Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. So a prophet, in other words, oftentimes declares God's word for our lives today. And therefore, when we witness the gospel, when we witness the gospel of Jesus to non-believers, we may actually prophesy under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Peter told the crowd that they did not drink wine in early morning. What they saw was the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit not only helped the disciples preach in other languages, the Holy Spirit also helps the listeners understand the message about the gospel. In history, we know that many missionaries have been coming to China. These languages, these foreigners, may come from America, from England and Europe. They preach the gospel in whatever Chinese dialects the local people use. And sometimes, I wonder how these missionaries can do it. Even for me, a Chinese, when I go back to China, I feel it's so difficult. How can the missionaries from America or England can do it? They have to face not only the cultural differences, but also their language barriers. During our recent trip to Hangzhou, we met a young Christian. She is a teacher in a primary school. She is already the fourth generation believer in China. So, 150 years ago, she told me, the missionaries from the China Inland Mission, founded in Britain by the missionary Hudson Taylor, came to Wenzhou. Wenzhou is a province in China, very close to Hangzhou, or very close to Shanghai, if you know the Chinese, the China map. And the Wenzhou dialect is quite special. It is quite different from Mandarin. And some people, some Chinese people, even call the Wenzhou dialect as the devil's language. If you see the other photo from, it is from NBC. They are doing a translation for the Wenzhou dialect. They say that this is a devil's language. And even the Chinese people, they say this is the devil's language for its complexity and difficult to learn. So for a learner from the Western world, learning to speak a Chinese dialect like the Wenzhou dialect is extremely hard, especially if you think 150 years ago, where linguistics was not advanced. They don't have all the instruments to help them. And the China store was essentially closed to the foreign country. If it was not the work of the Holy Spirit, it is hard to imagine that an Englishman like Hudson Taylor, who spoke in the Wenzhou dialect, the devil's language, to local Chinese about the life of Jesus. And for this young lady, and her great-grandparents, who eventually believe in God. That's amazing. Eventually, some, as we know, always involves the work of the Holy Spirit. When I traveled to Yueyang of Wulan, when I go to Yueyang, I was invited to preach on a Sunday service. It was a small church. It was really a small house church. It's so tiny, even smaller than here. Maybe 200 to 250 square feet for the size of the church. These people, and they only accommodate maybe 30 people. These people spoke their local dialect, and also quite different from Mandarin, which I had no idea what they said when they communicated with one another. And when they spoke Mandarin, it was also not easy for me to follow it if I did not pay full attention. So when I preached at this house church, Mandarin was the only language I could use, because Mandarin was the official language in mainland China since 1950s. And several things I would like to share with you when I preach there. First, I asked the church if they had a projector that I could use, because I have prepared a PowerPoint. With a PowerPoint, I know that I can communicate better to people. They said, no, we don't have a PowerPoint. So I was worried, what should I do without a PowerPoint? However, just one day before I preached, they somehow bought a new projector for a special project later. And so, and therefore, I was the first one to use the PowerPoint to preach in their church. And this helped me a lot to present the sermon clearer. And the second thing I noticed was that there were some people jotting down notes. They like to jot notes. They were eager to learn the Word of God. And therefore, after the sermon, I gave them the original manuscript, the manuscript, for them to read. And finally, I noticed that when I was preaching, there were a few people sitting by my side and even at my back. It seems that I was preaching in the midst of a crowd. And this was a new preaching experience to me. And of course, the other experience was there was no air conditioning, so it was so hot. Maybe you want to know how my sermon went. My wife asked some people for a response after the sermon. Maybe out of courtesy, they replied that they could fully understand my message. However, a retired man from Wenzhou, who spoke the devil's language, who sat quietly at my back when I was preaching, spoke to me about his feelings. He was a construction worker, and his Mandarin was strongly accented, of course, and I had difficulty to understand his Mandarin. At first he told me about how he could become a believer. He was a construction worker. So one day, he fell down from a tall building. And then he felt that someone is holding his back. And so when he fell on the ground, he did not hurt much. And the other workers were amazed that he was healed up so fast. So he knew that it was the work of God. So he became a believer. Maybe for us, we don't have so dramatic experience to become a believer. But in China, you see some of them, they did. So he told me about the story. And unexpectedly, he not only understood my preaching, he also gave me some positive feedback. He said, my sermon was biblical, all based on the Word of God, but not on personal opinion. He said the sermon was quite different from what was preached from the pulpit by the local preachers. And I don't bring on the... I mean, this is a cultural difference. The preacher from China, maybe they are preaching in different styles. And he was happy that my sermon helped him grow spiritually. I knew that the Holy Spirit had empowered me to preach the Word of God in Mandarin, and that enabled this one young man to enjoy the gospel. Okay. Now we come to the last part of the of Acts chapter 2, the message of today. It talks about to preach the gospel in tongues is to lead people of all nations to salvation. Peter continues the last part of the prophecy of Joel. The last part of the prophecy Joel is actually the speech of God. So God says, I will show in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So what is the great and glorious day that will be coming? As we read in the prophecy of Joel, it is the day when the Lord Jesus Christ will return to the earth. This will be there will be a series of events to signify his coming. On that day, the sun will not shine, and the moon looks red like blood, and darkness covers the whole earth, and people are scared by these cosmological changes, as they do not know what is going to happen. And suddenly, according to this prophecy, they also see blood, fire, and smoke everywhere. It may be a result of an extensive war, or it may be the consequence of some horrible disasters, we don't know. It looks like the end of the world they have watched in horror movies. However, on this day, the loud sounds, dazzling colors, pungent smells, burnings, and death are not special effects, but real. The purpose of Jesus' second coming, there's only one purpose, is for judgment. Jesus will come to judge all people, whatever language they speak. He will judge based on what they have done in their lives. And this day is hopeless and doomed for the atheists and those who have rejected Christ and those who do not repent from their sin. However, many people do not believe in the judgment day. They may say the prophecy of Joel was thousands of years ago and nothing happened even ever since. They do not know that God is very patient to wait for their repentance. They may also say, when the judgment day comes, I'm already dead. So, what can Jesus do with my dead body? And they do not know that Jesus will raise them up for the judgment. On the other hand, the judgment day is a great and glorious. It's great and glorious for Christians, for believers. It is because they are exempted. They are exempted from this final judgment. And that is Christians are saved. The arrival of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost is to save the people of all nations from this judgment day of Jesus. During our stay in Yuyang, another small city in Yuyang, a mother brought her daughter to the church. And this poor girl, 18 years old, had suffered from depression and developmental delay after a trauma in childhood. And I did not know if she could understand my sermon. Probably not. She was too shy and incapable to communicate. And a local preacher briefly explains to her what the gospel was. It was probably the first time she heard about Jesus. And then I prayed in Mandarin for her. I could never imagine that me, a Cantonese speaker, in a small church where I do not know the exact location, I don't know where it was, could pray in Mandarin for such a lovely girl who needed the love of Christ the most. And after the prayer, I could see a smile on her face. And then she could start to pray a hymn on the piano. And that was amazing. A girl with depression and developmental delay could play a hymn on a piano. The Holy Spirit worked on our hearts because God wants each one of us to see visions, dream dreams, and prophesy is love. As a conclusion, what have you learned today about preaching the gospel to the world? I think the first thing we learn is, if he wants to experience God personally, go prophesy. Oftentimes people ask me, how can I experience God? They told me they could not experience God in reading the Bible, in praying, and even going to church. My simple answer is, go preach the gospel. When you do that, the Holy Spirit of God is definitely with you. The second thing we learn is, do not be afraid to speak in tongues during evangelism. On the day of Pentecost, we know that the people from different nations came to Jerusalem. The disciples preached the gospel to them by speaking their tongues. Nowadays, people like to interpret speaking in tongues as a divine gift given by the Holy Spirit. And not every Christian can receive it. And during my recent trip to Hong Kong, I talked to a Christian friend who had changed her belief from traditional, like us, to charismatic. She experienced trauma in her childhood, so she always looked for a better relationship with God. And now she turns her belief into charismatic after she goes to the charismatic church. And she told me she could now pray in tongues. I don't know whether you know what praying in tongues is. When she prayed in tongues, she did not know exactly what she had said. But she said that she felt blessed and relaxed. Many people, therefore, look forward to this divine gift of praying in tongues, simply for feeling good. At the same time, many traditional Christians, they are afraid of people who pray in tongues. However, today's passage in Acts 2 is talking about speaking in tongues for evangelism and not praying in tongues for self-satisfaction. We are not afraid to speak in tongues, meaning to speak in foreign languages, in order to spread the gospel to other language groups. The third thing we learn is learn the language before the Holy Spirit enables us to speak the language. I do not think the gift of speaking in tongues today is as dramatic as what happened on the day of Pentecost. Imagine, it will be a headline news if an Englishman from England who has never learned any Chinese, now standing at the street of Wenzhou, can preach to a crowd of local people in the devil's language. We need to learn the local language first. If we want to do the job right, then the Holy Spirit will empower us to pick the right words to say to the audience who wants the love of Christ and to understand the gospel. And number four, see visions and dreams if we want to prophesy. We cannot go back to the days of Pentecost to see the historical visions. They can see at that and on the Pentecost, people could see the violent wind, the tongue of fire, 120 disciples spoke in tongues, in different languages, and 3,000 people of different nations received the gospel. However, today, we can still see visions and dreams when we go prophesy. In a trip to China, we had attended a national we attended a competition. They call it a national competition on martial arts. And in a, we were in a sports stadium of a university. And I can see this as they are students. They are students. These competitors are students. When I look at them, I saw their passion and energy. They were so energetic. But at the same time, I dreamed they could become Christians. And saw so that I can see the real joy in them. It is always our dreams that someone will be saved. As Christians, we dream someone will be saved. These visions drive us to share the gospel to the unsaved, wherever we go, and whatever language they speak. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today's passage written in Acts chapter 2. This helps us to understand why you have chosen us. You chose us because you want us to spread the gospel to people around us, and even to people who speak other languages. Father, teach us to have a heart to first to love you, and then we can love the other people. When we see people, we see their souls. We are not only focusing on what they have done, but we are focusing on their souls. We want them to be saved. We want them to receive your love. We want them to be like us, to be given the hope that one day they will receive the eternal life. Father, we thank you. May you bless each one of us, that we have a heart to serve you and to love you. Thank you. We pray all this in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.